Hell's Fair by John Ringo.
Prologue.
Monsignor Nathan O'Reilly, S.J., had to admit that there were good and bad aspects to being a consultant to the President of the United States. One excellent aspect is that his access to what limited intelligence the President possessed about humanity's benefactors had been tremendously increased. Much of it had already been available to the Banshee, presumably through penetration of human-computer networks. But it was useful to the Societe to be able to both support their ancient allies and, admittedly, ensure that they were not being given the runaround. The negative aspect, of course, was that semi-professional paranoics and conspiracy true believers assumed that a Jesuit as a counselor to the president meant some deeply laid conspiracy involving pyramids, Atlantis, aliens, and a lore of the ancients. The professional paranoiacs and security officers of the FBI, CIA, NSA, and other agencies knew that there were no ancient conspiracies. Any who insisted that Monsignor Thomas O'Reilly, Ph.D., counselor to the President for Galactic Anthropology and Protocol, was involved in a millennia-old conspiracy would find him or herself in a rubber room quicker than you can say, "Quick, get the tinfoil beanie!" A fortunate attitude, since in this case, the wackos were right. But his position also gave him a cachet in dealing with certain categories of people, such as his current visitor. Before his desertion from United States Special Operations Command, Lieutenant Commander Peter Left had been a medium-height man with the build and charisma of a blonde, blue-eyed demigod. O'Reilly's visitor was almost invisible. Brown hair, brown eyes, apparently lighter built, and his face had none of the commander's movie star good looks. The standard identification scans for entry to Cheyenne Mountain had even revealed different palm prints, facial IR patterns, voice print, retinal scans, and genetics. Nonetheless, Monsignor O'Reilly had no doubt that he was talking to the third in command of the cyberpunks. So far, the talk wasn't going well. Regardless of any convergence of interests between them and the Societe, the cybers existed to defend the U.S. Constitution against the Darhel and the politicians allied with them. Both the alliance and the orders it had spawned were entirely without basis in that document, without treaty, without article, without amendment, based solely on findings, declarations, and standing orders, and so totally counter to it in law and in spirit, as Left had just explained in quietly angry detail. When we presented our superiors with proof of the Darhel's intentions, it was clear that they had been compromised. So we had to go outside sanction. There was no one left to obey. If we now start taking orders from some nebulous galactic-controlled conspiracy, we will be worse than those we oppose. Your proposal is, frankly, insulting. The Society is not galactic-controlled, O'Reilly said with a smile. We're independent of the Banshee. But each group has complementary strengths. The Banshee provide us with intelligence and access to galactic technologies. And you provide the Banshee with assassins, Left practically spat. The Darhel, at least, don't cloak their recruiting in high-minded phrases. Just because the Galactics can't do their killing for themselves doesn't mean we have to be their lapdogs. O'Reilly fixed the cyberpunk with a glare. Okay, you arrogant jackass. Is that the way you want to play it? You and your precious constitution that is dead as a doornail if we don't get the elves off our backs? You're fumbling in the dark for answers that we had when Gilgamesh was in diapers. I can show you the personal diary of Marcus Antonius, senior centurion of the 14th Roman Legion, one of the most cold-blooded killers you'll ever had to meet, who decried in his personal writings the fact that humans were so often at odds when they should be combining their forces against the Darhel, the old ones as he knew them. You act to save America as its precious constitution, a constitution written in part by the Society members. The Society has one mission and one mission only: permit the human race to thrive and grow free of the Darhel. And right now, the Darhel are the biggest threat to your constitution. So are you going to work with us, or are we going to run around in the shadows at odds with each other? Those are the choices. Binary solution set. Get over it. The commander considered him calmly for a moment, then nodded. What do you want, and what are you willing to trade for it? You're right that the major needs are for direct action personnel, O'Reilly said with a nod. This war has sucked down the available pool of personnel, and we have a need for teams, on-call teams. Lef shook his head. We cannot act directly against the Darhel. It would violate the compact. While it may not be in the direct support of the Constitution, we feel that the compact is in everyone's long-term interest. The compact and your actions to bring it about is what impressed me about you, O'Reilly said. Although I think you pulled up short. 5 Darhel for General Taylor is a poor trade. 15, 20, 100 if possible. I tend to agree, Commander Lef said with a thin smile. However, 5 was the best we could do without excessive sloppiness. We considered being sloppy as payback for framing us for the 10th Corps hacking, but it wasn't necessary. If, when, we have to repeat the lesson, 5 will be about the most we can guarantee. And since they would be willing to kill the occasional important soldier in exchange for 5 senior Darhel, we stated plainly that if the person is specifically protected, it becomes an all-out war. But the point is, we cannot move against the Darhel. So what would you need teams for? There are other actions that need the human touch. Subtly guarding selected individuals, for example. We actually get very good intelligence on Darhel intentions and can often intercept assassinations. But we need counter-assassins to do so. We also occasionally need pickups where angels fear to tread. Did you know about the termination of General Taylor in advance? Lef asked quietly. O'Reilly nodded. Certain cells were informed in advance, along with the warning that using the information could reveal a source. On the balance, protecting General Taylor and possibly losing the source was not a good strategic decision, so we allowed it to happen. Lef's mouth tightened. Like Churchill and Coventry, I understand the logic, but the cybers reject that degree of real politic. Frankly, you may want to reconsider allying with us. If we join up, we will expect a higher degree of moral consideration, Jesuit. Call us paladins. But if you play real politic and dump one of our teams or let one of our operatives die, we will hunt you to the ground or die trying. So, do you still want to do this? Yes, we do, O'Reilly said. That, the cyber creed as we call it, was much discussed. One view was that we can work it out. Some sources will be more vulnerable, but if need be, we'll have them disconnect and we'll recover them. We lose the ongoing info, but not the source. Unfortunate, but you can't use people as pawns, Lef said coldly. Politicians doing that have brought us to this. Another view, O'Reilly continued, was that we shouldn't ally with you because of that loss. That was mostly from certain Banshee factions, the Tongs and the Franklins. You want underhanded in real politic? The Franklins make the Darhel look warm and fuzzy. The third view, from different Banshee factions, the Sayate, and other groups within the Mother Church, was that it is refreshingly moral approach, and the long-term benefits outweigh any short-term consequences. Jesus, Lef said with a laugh, how many groups of you are there? Quite a few, apparently, the Monsignor said thinly. If there's a civilization of any size, you will find the Banshee somewhere in its cracks. Okay, you need assassins and counter-assassins. What do we get? Oh, we'll ask for other things than that, O'Reilly admitted. That a guy with a wanted dead poster can walk into high command proves just how capable the cybers are. And in support of that capability, O'Reilly offered clean AIDs for the cybers to study, access through Endowie contacts to Fleet's entire records database, and profile generators better the cybers to identify good candidates for recruitment. Access to the Societe's safehouse network in every surviving major city, and even off-planet. Weapons, money, documents, you name it, we can provide it. And now all we have to do is kill perfect strangers, Lef said, shaking his head. I'll take it back to Cyber Command, but I don't like it that so many of our cells are known to the Endowie. We will not permit executive connection to them. I meet an Endowie and will consider the bridge burned. Understood? Understood, the Monsignor said with a nod. After a moment, he smiled. One question. Do you still have females in your organization? A few, Lef admitted. Cyber training is very physical, but it has as much to do with the mind as the body. Why? Oh, just a thought, O'Reilly chuckled. The Societe looks at the long haul, and we were discussing recruiting. It so happens we have a mission that has an immediate priority. I did mention where angels fear to tread. Yes?